Wow. Well, y'all, it is the last Sunday of 2018. Just like Felice said, and when she was about to sing, she said, tell somebody, you made it. You're still here. If you're still here, you still have a purpose and a plan. Amen. You know, when we get to this time of year, oftentimes you will see on the news or you'll see in magazines this phrase, year in review, right? And so we're going to see that. But can I just do a little 2018 year in review here just for the first few moments? You know, I've got some things that I want to share. Some of them are some events that have happened that are international political events. And some are funny, some are heartwarming, and others are just plain weird. Y'all ready? North and South Korea vowed to formally end the Korean War. Let's see how that works out. Good luck with that. Cuba announced a new president, ending the 59-year Castro leadership or dictatorship. In Saudi Arabia, women are finally able to drive legally. Wow. And my wife is saying, why? I'm trying to quit. Because she is the family Uber and Lyft. Unpaid, of course. And then for you dog lovers, you'll be glad to hear about this. South Korea, they closed their largest dog meat slaughterhouse this year. Yeah, for you dog lovers. You dog lovers might get a kick out of this. Barbara Streisand, she cloned her dead dog this year. Apparently, she missed her dog so much, her dog Samantha, that she had two dogs cloned from Samantha's cells. That's just weird. In lighter news, Meghan Markle became the first woman of color to join the British royal family. That's worth an applause. Also, statistics say that in 2018, the U.S. employment rate is the lowest since 1969. Praise God for that. Now, this is the time of year where people start new diets. So if you're interested in starting a new diet, I've got a suggestion for you. In 2018, a German supermarket announced that they are now serving buffalo worm burgers. Apparently, it's a great sustainable alternative to beef patties. You still going to Longhorns instead? Okay. Just a thought. And then Virgin Galactic's supersonic space plane soared into the upper reaches of Earth's atmosphere, laying the pathway for commercial space tourism. Those tickets will be just a little bit higher than Delta. Just a little bit. And then MIT developed a computer that can transcribe your thoughts. Wow. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Anybody want to sign up for one of those computers at the house? So not only can they track everywhere that you go on the internet, now the computers know what you're thinking. All right, here's one more. Good news for the city of Atlanta. City of Atlanta celebrated its first Major League Sports Championship in 23 years. Give it up for Atlanta United. Now, I know some of you are like, I don't even know the rules of soccer. It doesn't matter. We got a championship. Can't depend on the Falcons. Can't depend on the Hawks. Pray for the Braves. I mean, I'll take it. I will take that. Amen. See, there's a lot that we can experience in a 365-day period. Many of us have gone through quite a bit this last year. Oh, wow, you're feeling it already. There were unexpected pleasant surprises this year. There were unexpected unpleasant surprises in your life this year. There were losses. There were victories. Some of us started this year out with relationships that were in trouble and God moved and now there's peace. Some of us are still in troubled situations going, Lord, how are we gonna make it? Some of us had high hopes and expectations this year only to find those hopes dashed by failure. Some of us experienced miraculous healings from sickness. And then there's some of us who are closing out this year still wondering, Lord, will this ever change? Some of us had financial breakthroughs this year, unlike any we've seen in years. And others of us are saying, Lord, how are we going to make it? Some of us started off 2018 with great New Year's resolutions that lasted a week or two or a month. You get to re-up next week. And then others of us set goals and achieved those goals and even exceeded those goals this year. Some of us lost people who were very important to us this year. Others of us perhaps gained new relationships. See, here's my point in sharing this wide range of experiences. See, what I want you to know is that in the middle of these experiences, God is there for it all. He is there for it all. He's in the good, he's in the bad, he's in the in-between. Not only is he in the middle of it, but he is at work. He is not a passive observer. He is an active participant. He is an orchestrator of all that is taking place. So I want to read a passage of scripture today that will set up the stage for where we're going in today's message. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Somebody say completion. Until the day of Christ Jesus. Oh, he will carry it on. He began a good work. What is the good work that God has begun? See, some of you might be thinking, preacher, if you knew my circumstances, you wouldn't be calling this a good work. You might not classify this as a good work if you understood what I've been dealing with. But see, today I want to share a perspective with you about God that can help you on this last Sunday of the year finish the year strong, no matter what you're facing. Today's message is entitled, Finish Strong. Tell somebody, finish strong. See, in order for us to finish strong, we got to have the right mindset about the heart of God. So we have to understand that what God's heart is towards us so that we don't misinterpret what he's doing in our lives. See, if we understand his heart, then we won't misread his movements. See, what is the good work that God has begun in our lives? I believe that we can answer that question by working through the answer to another question. So here's the question that I want to propose and work through for the remainder of the message. What is the heart of God? See, I must know what his heart is toward me in order for me to comprehend and fully understand the good work that he has begun in me. So the first thing I want to give you is this. What is the heart of God? God is committed to our good. He is committed to our good. And I'm going to open up with a passage of scripture that is so familiar and so repeated in church circles that sometimes it gets relegated into the realm of Christian cliche. But I don't want this passage to become a Christian cliche for you. I want this to become a real reality for you. Romans 8 and 28. It says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. See, that's a common passage. But verse 29 really helps you to understand what God is really up to in the working of the good. Verse 29, it says, For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. See, we say it like this in plain language. Everything happens for a reason. But what are the reasons that everything is happening? What is God up to with the good, the bad, and all of the in-between in your life? Where is he going? Verse 29 tells you he's up to something. He's trying to get you somewhere. Where is he trying to get you? Conformed to the image of his son. In plain language, he wants you to be like Jesus. See, all of the good, all of the bad, and all of the in-between has one end in mind. God wants you to be like his son, Jesus. And then I love what it says in verse 29, where it talks about he's the firstborn amongst many brothers and sisters. See, my oldest son was in the first worship experience at 9 o'clock, and I used him as an example. And I said, and I've told him since he was a kid, listen, your brothers and sisters, they're going to follow you. They watch you. They emulate you. They look up to you. Now, I know half of the days they hate you and you hate them. But the truth is they look up to you. I mean, he's the first one who's going to be launching out of the house in 18 months. That wasn't a boot. I was stretching. I just had a little... had a little cramp. I was just stretching out my cramp a little bit. But they're going to watch how you depart. They're going to watch what you do. They follow your lead. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is that Jesus is the older brother. That the Father is saying, watch him. Read the gospel and watch him. Read the gospel and see how he lived. Read the gospel and understand how he walked. And then follow him. He's the first in the line of brothers and sisters who walk before the Father faithfully. He's the elder brother. See, we are called to be like him. See, it's so important that we understand what is God really after. See, most of us, that's not what we think about on a day-to-day basis, right? We don't think, I want to be like Jesus. We think, hey, if I could just maybe be a little better me. Right? If I could just, you know, if I could just work out a few of my little kinks. If I could just, you know, if I could not be so impatient. Maybe if I could just not be so anxious. If I could just maybe not be so angry. If I could just maybe not worry. If I could just get a little bit better, I'd be good. I'd be content. See, we would be content with that, but God is not content with that. God is not content with you becoming a better you. It's a great 21st century thing to say. It's cool. It's mod. Yeah, it's going to be a better me. You do you. You do me. No. He's got a higher vision for our lives than that. That's a lesser vision. And he will not settle for that. I want you to write this down. This is probably something that, you know, it's worth taking a picture on the screen and maybe put it on Instagram or put it on Twitter. I mean, I thought it was cool when God gave it to me. So here we go. See, God is not content with any version of our lives that does not look like his son. Now, you and I might be content, but he's saying that's not enough. He's saying, that's not where I'm going. That's not the vision that I have for you. That is not where I am taking you. So it's important that we understand in the middle of this good work that he has begun, the good, the bad, and all of the in-between, where is he going? What is he up to? But see, God is so different than us that he uses things to get us to be like Jesus that we would never choose for ourselves. See, he gives strange gifts sometimes. You know, my family has this tradition. My family can be kind of interesting at times. And we have this tradition during Christmas where, you know, gifts get wrapped in boxes that have nothing to do with the gift. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? So the other day, we're sitting at my sister's house, and she gives me a gift and gives my brother a gift, and it's beautifully wrapped. The wrapping paper is amazing, and there's bows and ribbons, and it's just wonderful. And then we unwrap the gift, and the box inside is a box of that immune stuff, emergency. and it's clear that it's already been opened. So I'm looking at this, and I'm going, so maybe she's trying to be funny, because I turned 50 this year, my brother turned 60 this year. Maybe she's saying, you old cooters need an immune boost. But I proceed to open the box, and then inside of the box is this beautiful bracelet with my initials and my brother's initials engraved on his. See, the box did not really disclose what the gift was. See, the box looked different than the contents of the gift. But see, I really didn't get worried. You know why I didn't get worried? Because I know the giver. See, I know my sister. And I know she always gives really good gifts, but she will hoodwink you with the box. She learned that from my mother. And see, here's what happens. Oftentimes, God sends us these gifts in this packaging that is confusing. What do you mean I got trouble in my marriage? I don't want that. But God said, wait. There's something contained in there. You got to keep unwrapping. What do you mean I got these issues in my finances? Wait. I know. That's the outer packaging. You got to keep unwrapping. What do you mean I got these problems with my kids? Wait. That's the outer wrapping. See, I've concealed something in that unattractive, confusing package. But there's a gift on the inside of that for you. You got to keep unwrapping. How do you unwrap it? You got to keep praying. Every time you pray, you unwrap it. Every time you come to church, you're unwrapping it. Every time you lift your hands in the sanctuary and give him glory, you're unwrapping that package. Every time you fall on your knees and say, oh God, I don't know what to do or where to go, he's saying, yeah, keep unwrapping. Just keep unwrapping. When you open your Bible and you begin to read the word in your quiet time, he's saying, yeah, just keep unwrapping. Just keep unwrapping. I got something contained in this. Don't get distracted by the outer package. See, some of you have been sent some packages this year in 2018, and your response was, I don't want this. Where we send this back? Where is the return label? Where is that? I don't want this. And God is saying, no. Slow down. Got to keep unwrapping. So I got something in this package for you. You just keep unwrapping. See, what he contains in that package. See, I don't know. I don't even know why he does that. Maybe he does it to conceal what his intentions are from the enemy. Maybe that's why he does it. Because Joseph said what you guys meant for evil, God meant for good. I mean, you know good and well that if Satan understood that sending Jesus to that cross would be the ultimate defeat of his kingdom, he would have said, keep him off the cross at all times. But no, it was concealed. It was a package that didn't look like what it was delivering. And see, some of you been rejecting your packages, and God is just saying, keep unwrapping. Keep unwrapping. Keep trusting me, because I'm after something. See, this is the way that I'm going to make you more like my son. It comes in a way that doesn't make sense to you, but I am at work. And oh, by the way, the work that I do is good. I know it doesn't look good. It might not sound good. It might not feel good. It might not even smell good. But it's good. So here's the other thing. What is the heart of God? The second thing I want you to know is this. God loves his children. God loves his children. See, everything God does is motivated by his love for his children. See, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9 reads this way. It says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. See, this passage is teaching us something about the way God loves. This is what he does. He expresses his love by doing something for the object of his love that it does not deserve. See, the object of his love does not deserve his mercy, but he gives it. The object of his love does not deserve his grace, but he gives it. And then he says, now you see what I gave you? See, it would be great if he stopped there, right? Let's just stop there. Okay, that's great, God. That's wonderful. But then he says, okay, you see what I did for you? Now you go do that for others. Oh, Jesus, what? Oh, come on. I was having this conversation with my brother Patrick yesterday. We were having lunch. And he said, we talk about this. He said, I don't know what's more challenging for me to embrace the fact that he did for me what I don't deserve or that he wants me to do that for other people. I know it's challenging, but that's what he's called us to, because this is how they know that we belong to him. When we love out of the love that he gave to us. So on the last Sunday of 2018, I just need to let you know what this means is that some of y'all are going to have to leave here and make some phone calls. I know you ain't come to church for all that, did you? I didn't come to church for all that, preacher. What I need you to do, sing the song, get up there, holler and spit, make me feel good as I close out 2018 and leave me alone. No, I'm going to do all of that, and I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to say, you got to call somebody. You already know who it is. You might need to send them a text in the service. Look, hey. There is somebody or somebodies that God is saying, do for them what they don't deserve, because what I have done for you is what you don't deserve. And when you do that, you are like me, Big Brother. You're like Big Brother. That's what I've called you to. Anything less than that is a lesser vision for your life, and God won't sign off on it. I'm trying to teach you how to finish strong and start strong. All right, let me keep going. Now, here's the third thing. I'm not even preaching long today. I'm going to wrap this thing up, and we're going to praise God, and I'm going to send y'all on out. What is the heart of God? Number three, his heart is maturity for his children. First of all, he's committed to our good. Second, God loves his children. Number three, he is committed to our maturity. Now, how does he bring about maturity? I'm so glad you asked. You asked such good questions on Sunday. Such good questions. James chapter 1 and verse 12 says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. See, his calling is to persevere under trials. I already know what you want. Lord, just keep the trial. I don't really need all that. I'll come to church anyway. No, you won't. You won't. You won't. I'm sorry. It's the truth. He knows human nature, right? Okay, we'll see. But see, he's calling us to persevere under the difficult circumstances. To persevere under the difficult circumstances. To persevere under the difficult circumstances. Do you know how diamonds are created? Diamonds are created with an enormous amount of earth pressure being exerted on them from the top and hot volcanic lava pressing them in from the bottom. And I know somebody's like, you just described my life. But see, you have to understand, what is God after? He ain't creating cubic zirconia. You don't need pressure to create a cubic zirconia. Just cut up some glass or some plastic or whatever it's made out of. But if you want a diamond, oh, you got to have some pressure. You got to have some pressure and some heat and some time. How much time? A long time. Because he's creating something of value. You want the diamond life? Or you want the cubic zirconia life? I mean, I was reading about diamonds. It is one of the hardest elements on the planet. It will cut through anything. And God is saying, persevere. Persevere under this. Don't run away. Know my heart. Remember, first of all, I have good in mind for you. Second, I love you. Third, I want you grown and mature. That's what I am after in your life. And see, God's ways are so, so very, very different than ours. And I like to think of God as this, divine cosmic chess player. We got any chess players in the house? And see, chess is this game of strategy that requires you to understand how to make moves in advance of where you want to be. And God is this divine chess player. I mean, he makes moves way in advance. I mean, we talked about this countdown to Christmas message and how he gave this word to Isaiah 700 years before Jesus came. He said, hey, I got you. I'm sending a savior. 700 years in advance. Mark this day. I'm making moves here. And see, God is probably making some moves in your life and you don't understand it. See, you got confused because you thought that he gave up a pawn and you lost the game. No, he sacrificed a pawn because he's got his eyes set on capturing that queen. But it's seven moves away. Let me tell you how God is. I mean, he is this divine chess player. I mean, I was thinking about what he did in the life of David. You know, sometimes when you read the scripture and you start to study the names of people in scripture, you start to see how God is playing chess. The name Goliath, it literally means splendor. But it comes from a root word that means to reveal. So here is God, the divine chess player that he is. On the day Goliath was born, he whispered in Goliath's mama and daddy's ear, name him Goliath. He becomes this great, fierce giant. And then he meets this little teenage boy on the battlefield who takes one of his five smooth stones, sinks it into his forehead, and cuts his head off with his own sword. Goliath fulfilled the purpose that God had divinely orchestrated from his birth. He's like, oh yeah, you know what you're going to do? You are going to reveal my splendor. And that's what every one of your Goliaths is assigned to do in your life, to reveal the splendor of a God who is incredible, to reveal the power of a God who knows the end from the very beginning. Who has sent a Goliath in your direction saying, don't worry. Oh no, I'm about to reveal my splendor. Don't get confused because he's tall. Don't get confused because he's ferocious. You're gonna win. Every challenge, every difficulty, the good, the bad, and the in-between is all to reveal his splendor. But you won't understand that if you forget what his heart is like. You'll get confused. You'll be thinking, God, why are you doing this to me? Okay, remember today's message. You already know. Why is he doing whatever he's doing? Because he's conforming you to the image of his son. And you don't make diamonds without pressure. You don't make diamonds without heat. That's what he's up to. He sent something to you in a package that you're saying, God, did you really? Yes, I really. I had to. Because this is the way that you and the rest of them are going to see me. We have to remember the work that he has begun in your life. It's a good work, even on days when it doesn't look good, even on days when it doesn't feel good. It's a setup by the divine chess player, and he is about to reveal his splendor. But don't you throw that package away. You better keep unwrapping. Keep unwrapping. Keep on praying. Every time you pray, you're unwrapping. Every time you're trusting, you're unwrapping. Every time you're believing, you're unwrapping. Every time you take another step, when it makes no sense to take another step, you are unwrapping. He is up to only good. And you got to remember that. So when you understand his heart towards me is only good, then Lord, bring it on. Bring it on. Okay? Bring it. Because, oh, by the way, he's not going to leave you out there by yourself. And I want you to don't get confused. You are not one of the pieces on the chessboard. Oh, he's not playing you. Don't get confused to think that you are one of the pieces. Oh, no, you're not one of the pieces. Your circumstances are the pieces. He's moving circumstances around. He's not playing you. He's playing for you. And many times, he's playing through you. But he's got a strategy. And you got to remember, what is his heart? Good, love, maturity for his people. Let's pray. Perhaps you're in this room today and you would admit, I am far from a connected relationship with Jesus. You might say, preacher, I've not really made him my Lord and Savior. He's not really the head of my life. I'm directing my life. But perhaps you sense that the Holy Spirit is calling you to a higher vision for your life now. that he wants you to be conformed to the image of his son. If you're in this place and you're saying, I want to submit my life to Jesus. If that's you, on the count of three, I just want you to acknowledge by slipping up your hand. I'm not going to call you up here or embarrass you in any way, but I want to pray with you and for you as you're there in your seat. One, I'm far from Jesus. Two, I need him to forgive me of my sin. Three, I want to surrender my life. Yes, hands are going up already. Yes. Yes. Is anyone else? It's not too late. You can slip your hand up if it's you. Now, I want you to pray with me. You got to put this in your own words. This is time for you to recommit to the Lord. You know what? I think it might be good for all of us to make this declaration. Let's make this declaration along with those who lifted their hands. Let's do it together. Just say, Lord Jesus, I come before you today, acknowledging my sin, asking you to forgive me. And just say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. And I believe you rose on the third day. And because you live, and because my sins have been forgiven, I will spend eternity with you. I now call you my Lord, and I call you my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.